We're going to read the psalm responsively this morning. I'll read the light-colored verses, and you'll read the bold verses. It's Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God all my life long.
Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help.
When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On every day, their plans perish.
Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and he watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which were worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Peace and grace to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. My earliest memory of putting coins in the offering plate at church comes with a vision of my mother carefully wrapping up two coins in my handkerchief so that I would not lose the coins before arriving at Luther Hall. So the beginnings of stewardship for me have been tied up in a pretty cloth and a commitment to faithfully set the hard-earned coins into the basket on Sunday morning. As we would sing, "This is my Father's world," and celebrate the love of Jesus with each other, I would carefully unwrap the coins and present them to God. Following our time at Luther Hall and Sunday school, my cousins, my brothers, and I would set out to the sanctuary at Trinity, where we would meet with our parents and grandparents to attend worship service together. Today's gospel reading describes a different offertory scene, a story known as the widow's mite. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a cent. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of poverty, did everything, put in everything, all she had to live on. So So here we have another Bible story of Jesus looking, watching, seeing. Jesus is watching the crowd, the people, the widow, the poor widow. What is it that he sees? What is it that he wants us to see? What is it that he sees when he looks at a life? 2 weeks ago, Pastor Josh preached that the testimony of Jesus was servanthood, that Jesus commanded his followers to love as I have loved you. And Pastor Josh stated that Jesus loves us and invites us to love in that same manner. This reality of servanthood is the highest level of stewardship. It is the outward extension of using the gifts freely given to us for the Lord's will. Stewardship transforms God's commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves from a scripture reading into a way of life. We are called to love, not just with our words, but with our whole lives. Stewardship is the way that we use all of our resources, our time, talents, possessions, and money to love God and to love our neighbor. The widow's mite story reminds me of my own grandmother, a widow the last 20 years of her life. And I imagine what Jesus saw when he looked at her. Her life was defined by the events of joy and heartache through the years. She was the granddaughter of Jewish immigrants who had left Prussia to escape persecution. She was the oldest of 13 children, born in 1898, and she lived her whole life in Victoria, Texas. Her father was a merchant. He ran a mercantile where she sometimes helped out. But her primary responsibilities lay in the home, cooking for the family and caring for her younger siblings. She developed the skill of preparing meals quickly. She was later known as a fabulous cook, and although her recipes were sought after, she refused to share them. These gifts of service and caring would be the hallmark of her life. She married a sailor who served in the Great World War, and then they settled into life on land granted to her by her father. Her greatest heartache came when her firstborn child died at the age of 2. And she almost lost her second child when her grieving brought on a premature birth. Papa and Duty began to live again with the birth of their third child, my mother. 2 years later, the stock market crashed and the Depression changed her life to one of constant poverty and struggle. There was no work for anyone. The mercantile couldn't sustain itself. My papa had to travel looking for work. And my grandmother stayed home, caring for the family, transforming the land grant into a modest farm for food. She tended her gardens, she milked the goats, she churned the butter, fed the chickens, she cooked and baked and shared meals with others, devastated by the Depression. I tell you these facts so that you might understand that she is not unlike many people who withstand great loss, great sorrow, and who continue to live their lives one day at a time. Because it was the challenges she faced that enabled her to minister to others who also faced loss. She was always baking and cooking and preparing meals for others, and then delivering these meals and words of love. It became her vocation, caring for others, comforting them through grief and extending the love and strength of Christ she herself had received. The words of the 146th Psalm seem to describe the life she chose to live, her daily living out her vocation of wife, mother, sister, daughter, friend, servant, child of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. 30 years later, my duty was still living the same life. She continued to use her gifts and talents to serve others. She wasn't rich. She used her garden vegetables and her own chickens to prepare the meals she took to others. As a young child, I'd love going to Duty's house. It always smelled of pies and cakes and stews and love. She was always preparing a meal for someone else. It was a wonderful home, full of laughter and the daily chores that sustain life. There was no television, no indoor plumbing. The kitchen sink had a water pump. The oven used real firewood lit for cooking and baking. And we would sit on the back porch shelling the butter beans for hours, looking for the purple beans that Duty said brought luck. We rejoiced each time we found a purple bean, and then we shelled more and more beans looking for more and smiling all the while. Just think about the flavor and the taste of a meal which began with rejoicing in the shelling of those beans. What healing those meals brought. Praise the Lord. I was fortunate to help my Duty prepare the pie crust, and then while waiting for the pies to bake, she'd pull out a tea kettle and the teapot, and in which she would share those special moments of love as we had cups of tea and milk. To feel the unconditional love she freely lavished on us gave us a glimpse of the unmerited grace of Christ and the security that we are loved because we are children of God. What a gift she poured out to us and to all those she served. Duty always carried a large black purse with a small black coin purse that had very few coins. I'm not sure that she even had enough to be called a mite. But my grandmother's mite was not found in a gold or a silver coin. It was defined by the mighty hand that has strengthened her throughout her life as she journeyed to do his will. Jesus filled her life with his presence so that she could turn and pour out his love to others through her ministries. And the beauty is that Jesus placed others in my Duty's life to ease her burdens so that she could fulfill her calling to his ministries. My mother got a part-time job to earn money to pay the land taxes for Duty. And quietly, without fanfare, she would fill up Duty's pot with resources for her ministries. How my Duty would squeal with delight when she would find that extra dollar tucked down into her teapot. She would delight in the mystery of that filled up teapot as she would then hurry to buy more seed, more feed, and more chicks to fulfill her call to minister to others. I was blessed to witness this ministry of love of these two women who relied on the love and the might of Christ. Because it really is his might, his strength, his power. It is his will that enables us all to live lives of service and servanthood, of grace and peace in his presence. that enables us to surrender all we have to the glory for his will. Now, when Jesus saw the widow give all that she had to live on, he saw all of her life, not just the two coins. He knew her heart, her reliance on God, her faith that God would provide for her needs. The widow would have known Psalm 146 to uphold her with the words of the promise that the Lord sustains the widow and the orphan. Jesus knew her story, and he teaches us through this image of humble stewardship. So what of our lives given in humble stewardship? What gifts, what talents, what possessions, what can we add to the treasury for the glory of God? What is it that Jesus sees as we offer our lives to his will and service? What talents and gifts does he see returned in stewardship? How do our lives sing praises to the Lord? As we prayerfully consider our stewardship commitments, what is it that Jesus wants us to see? How can we pour out our lives in ministry to love others as we have been loved? We are called to stewardship of the gospel and the testimony of Christ. We have been called to love our God and our neighbors as we have been loved by Jesus. The heart of stewardship is love. We are loved. We have been filled with his love. And as faithful stewards of the gospel and the mystery of Christ, we pour out our lives in loving response to the love lavished upon us by the Father. Love. In 3 weeks, Advent will be upon us. During that time of preparation for the birth of Jesus, you will be invited to pledge commitments of time and talent and resources. This Advent season, as we prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of Christ, let us commit to the gifts of servanthood and stewardship of our time, our talents, our possessions. Let us live out our vocations to the glory of God. Let our stewardship be a reflection of the love freely given to us. Amen.